The espresso in Milan doesn't just wake you up, it burns. It's bitter, thick, and unforgiving. Much like the air in the boardroom of Gallo and Associates the morning I realized I was finished. I am a woman who was raised on the aesthetics of power. Sharp tailoring, leather-bound legacies, and the silent understanding that an Italian woman's reputation is her only true currency. I traded mine for 20 minutes of adrenaline in a glass-walled office overlooking the Duomo. And God, the interest on that debt is a killer. His name was Marco. He was the kind of man who didn't walk into a room so much as he annexed it. He was traditional in all the ways that look good in a suit. White, polished, with that Roman nose and eyes that seemed to calculate your net worth while he complimented your perfume. He was the senior partner. I was the rising star in luxury acquisitions. We were supposed to be a powerhouse duo, the two of us carving through the European market with the clinical precision of a surgeon's blade. Instead, we became a cautionary tale whispered in the elevators of every firm from Rome to London. The tension wasn't a slow burn. It was an immediate high-voltage hum the moment we were assigned the Valenti account. We were working late. The kind of nights where the cleaning crew becomes the only witnesses to your ambition. The city lights were bleeding through the floor-to-ceiling windows, turning the office into a cage of gold and shadow. I remember the smell of his cologne, sandalwood, and something expensive, something that smelled like old money and new mistakes. I was leaning over a spread of contracts, pointing out a discrepancy in the offshore holdings, when I felt him move behind me. He didn't say a word. He didn't have to. The air just changed. It became heavy, saturated with the kind of reckless intent that overrides every logical circuit in your brain. I should have walked out. I should have made a joke about HR or mentioned his wife's charity gala. But in that moment, the power he held wasn't a threat. It was an aphrodisiac. I wanted to see if I could break that professional composure. I wanted to know if the man beneath the 3,000 euro blazer was as devastating as the one leading the meetings. The sex was temporary. It was a frenzied, silent collision against the mahogany desk. A desperate attempt to feel something other than the crushing pressure of our quarterly targets. It was athletic, transactional, and devoid of anything resembling a soul. And the moment it was over, the silence that followed was the loudest thing I've ever heard. As he straightened his tie in the reflection of the glass, he didn't look at me. He looked at his watch. The consequences, however, were permanent. The shift happened overnight. It wasn't a dramatic confrontation. It was a slow, agonizing erasure. Suddenly, the CC line on the important email stopped including my name. The morning briefings happened 10 minutes before I arrived. Marco didn't treat me like a lover, and he certainly didn't treat me like a partner. He treated me like a liability. He was the senior partner, a pillar of the Italian business community with three kids and a seat on the board of a major bank. I was just the ambitious woman who had let him in. I learned the hardest lesson of all. You can crave someone with every fiber of your being and still regret the second you let them touch you. The craving is biological. The regret is structural. I remember the day the rumors hit the floor. It started with the administrative assistants. Quiet glances and stifled giggles when I walked to the break room. Then, the partners started looking through me as if I were made of smoke. Marco had played it perfectly. He hadn't said a word, but he'd allowed the narrative to form that I was the aggressor, the unstable element that had tried to sleep her way to a corner office. In a culture that still prizes the sanctity of the family man, I was the villain by default. My ethnicity, my heritage, my very name, Gallo, became synonymous with a scandal I couldn't outrun. My father always told me that trust is like a porcelain vase. Once it's cracked, it might still hold water, but you'll never stop looking at the seam. My career didn't just crack, it shattered. The Valenti account was handed to a junior associate. My promotion was deferred indefinitely, due to cultural fit concerns. And Marco? He stayed. He thrived. He was promoted to managing director 6 months later, receiving a standing ovation while I sat in my parked car downstairs, clutching a cardboard box of my belongings. I stood on the sidewalk outside the office for a long time that final day. I looked up at the window where it happened. From the street, the building looks impenetrable, a monument to success and order. But I knew the truth. It's a hive of fragile egos and calculated betrayals. I let him in because I thought it would make me powerful. I thought intimacy with the king would make me a queen. I was wrong. It just made me a target. Now, when I look back, I don't miss the touch. I don't miss the sandalwood or the Roman eyes. I miss the woman I was before I traded my future for a moment of heat. I miss the girl who believed that merit was the only thing that mattered. If you're listening to this, sitting in your office, feeling that hum in the air when the person above you leans in a little too close, do yourself a favor. Take a breath. Look at your desk, look at your name on the door, and realize that no amount of craving is worth the permanent silence of a career cut short. The Italian job wasn't a heist of money. It was a heist of my life. And the thief is still up there, drinking his espresso, while I'm left wondering how I ever thought he was worth the price of admission.